From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Chile's first and only woman president, Michelle Bachelet, who served two separate terms, just handed over power to newly elected President Sebastián Piñera. Piñera, a Harvard-educated center-right political figure who starts his second term as president, vowed, among other things, to cut taxes, strengthen pensions, and reduce the national deficit. Piñera won a runoff election last December, and speaking the language of neoliberal capitalism, he said upon his inauguration on Sunday, quote, "Growth is fundamental not only to create good jobs, improve salaries, and create opportunities for small companies, but also to generate the resources needed to finance public spending." Piñera's term appears to be part of the contemporary rightward swing of the Latin American political pendulum. Joining me to discuss what is in store for Chile under Piñera and also what Bachelet's legacy has been is Francisco Letelier. He is a Chilean-born artist, muralist, writer, and activist based in Los Angeles. He was only 17 when his father, Orlando Letelier, an economist who was part of Salvador Allende's cabinet, was assassinated in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program, Francisco.
Good morning, Sonali. Thank you.
So the arc of Chile's history is, of course, quite long, going back 40 years to when your father was assassinated, to when Allende was deposed and the Pinochet regime began. And then fast forward all the way to Michelle Bachelet, the first female president of Chile, who served two terms, interspersed with Sebastián Piñera. So essentially it's been Bachelet, Piñera, Bachelet, and then Piñera again. What does this latest, the second term of Piñera's rule as president represent for Chile to you? Does it represent a strong break from Bachelet?
No, it does not. But of course, you have to understand what my history and what my political alliances are about. Interestingly, a couple of days before the change of government, Michelle Bachelet presented resolutions for a reform of the Constitution. As you may know, and listeners may understand, this is one of the platforms upon which she won her second bid for the presidency for a change in our constitution that was crafted by the Pinochet regime. She sent these reforms through a couple of days before her changing power with Sebastián Piñera. And what's interesting to note is one of the points there is that they have returned to make the presidential term 6 years and to not allow presidents to go for re-election. So we may not have this pendulum thing swing from one to another. One of the observations that I would really accomplish things in a world where things change day to day, of course, only 50% of the electorate voted in these past presidential elections. So just as in the United States, Trump's victory did not represent an overwhelming victory for people that support Trump. The Piñera victory also does not signify an overwhelming support by Chileans for Piñera. So that's one thing that I would say as we move into the future, to understand that although Piñera won a resounding victory at the polls by those who elected, many people stayed home out of indifference, disappointment, or other factors that many pundits are trying to figure out.
Would you say that because there had to be a runoff election between Piñera and his rival in December, he didn't outright win the vote in the first round, that was an indication? He only won 36% of the vote in the first round, which was lower than expected. And that was an indication of the sort of lukewarm support he's getting from the Chilean people?
Yes, and it was also, but it was expected. A runoff was expected at all times, but we did better in that first round. And we had the political forces to counter a Piñera victory. However, things divided up along party lines. The Christian Democrats went their own way. in a coalition that they had integrated with in the past. And also, because of the ability for new parties to be created in Chile during the Bachelet government, we had a coalition of the far left, which could have supported the Bachelet presidency as well. So it is truly a country that is divided into different factions, and I don't think it will be smooth sailing for President Piñera.
Now, we should, of course, very clearly underscore the fact that Piñera is a billionaire. He's not just a conservative. He is a billionaire. And you were mentioning earlier about the sort of Trump comparison. How did the economic situation in Chile inform people's decision to pick Piñera? Is there the sense that if he can make money for himself, he could, you know, ensure the country remains economically sees an economic boom?
Well, you know, Sonali, Chile, like the rest of the world, is kept kind of hostage to the idea of a growing and healthy economy. At some point, all the world will have to take stock. And so, these growing economies, we can't just pitch that. But yes, since Chile is the largest exporter of copper in the world, and since copper took a great plunge right at the beginning of Michelle Bachelet's presidency, this was a major factor in slow growth of the economy, because it did grow during Bachelet, but at a slower rate that many Chileans wanted, added to the fact that there's a great disparity between the rich and poor in Chile. The rich were getting richer, the poor were getting poorer. Somebody who says, I'm going to make the economy grow, really does well. The economy didn't grow as much during the Bachelet government. Copper prices are now beginning to rise. And so Piñera will inherit some of the things set into motion by the prior administration. But Bachelet made some far sweeping reforms that in the future will really count a lot. She raised corporate taxes and the taxes of those investing in the country. That made a big difference in Chile that slowed the growth of the economy, because usually big corporations in a neoliberal atmosphere want to take their business where taxes will be lessened. So I think that as Piñera moves into his presidency, he will inherit these issues. And since he's the richest man in Chile, as you pointed out, one of the richest billionaires in Latin America, it will make a big difference, because he has nothing else to offer Chile other than this growing economy. Because as you know, he is a conservative. He's appointed a very much more conservative cabinet on this time in his presidency than in the past. And essentially, ideas of trickle down are what they believe will bring Chile into the future, right, with prosperity for all Chileans. But Bachelet has left some very important legacies.
Right, that was going to be my next question, because some people have not, like other Latin American leaders, for example, Lula in Brazil, some people on the left just felt that Bachelet didn't go far enough. It wasn't true enough to her socialist values. But others say, well, her legacy is actually stronger than we expect. How do you view her legacy from the perspective of being true to her socialist ideals?
Yeah, her legacy is tremendous. As I mentioned earlier, 4 years seems a short time to be a president in today's global climate. She made far-reaching reforms in education at the beginning with her administration, although some criticize her for not having created free education from elementary school to university. She has created a free education to the university level for 66% of the population, which is a huge accomplishment. She's also made it illegal for people to profit on basic education. This is a far-reaching move that was sort of forgotten with the larger events that were happening in the country. The primary, I think, reason for what has happened with the recent Bachelet presidency, of course, is the fact that her son was caught up in a real estate corruption scandal. And this made it very hard for Chileans to reconcile the idea of Michelle Bachelet being someone who wasn't tied to the corporate sector and who was not corrupt. Chileans generally believe that if her son was involved in criminal activity, she must have had some knowledge of it and she must have made it possible. So really, a lot of her popularity and the way her legacy is viewed is seen through that lens. Another tremendous thing was the police conspiracy against the Mapuche, the Araucanian people of the South, the original inhabitants of Chile. They have suffered great repression and conspiracies by the police. One of the first acts in a deft political move by Piñera this morning, Tuesday, was to fire the current police chief and to install a new police chief. This is really a populist move because the head of the police, the national head of the police, absolutely was not involved in the conspiracy against Mapuche people. But again, Chileans more than anywhere else have a misunderstanding of democratic systems. So anything that happens in the government or throughout the country is laid squarely on the desk of the president. So Michelle Bachelet, by many on the left and right, and by many people in the Mapuche community, is blamed for the repression against the Mapuche, although during her regime, Mapuches were included in her new constitutional reforms. New Mapuche Congress people have been voted in, etc. For us who support Michelle Bachelet, we have a long understanding that her support of Mapuche and indigenous struggles has been incredibly important to her, and she's committed to that. But as president, she's not a dictator in a democratic system, and she can't control everything. Often I compare it to North Americans being told that a sheriff in a small county in Texas may have been involved in activity that would be deemed racist or working with the Klan. We often do not think that it's the president's fault, but more a legacy of a national and diverse regional history. But in Chile, she has been blamed for all those things.
How do you finally put this transition of power from Bachelet to Piñera within the context, broader context of the Latin American, what seems to be a rightward swing once more, although not necessarily a hard right swing? It's arguable, it's certainly different in different countries, but we had seen a long leftward swing in the 2000s, and now the pendulum is swinging back right, it seems.
Yes, and I guess the use of the metaphor of the pendulum, it can be useful in some cases. But right now, I feel that it doesn't provide the insight that we need. Chile, for example, has no oil deposits. We have long relied on imports of petroleum in Chile, but now we have quadrupled our solar and renewable energy, and that energy now will be in the hands of Chileans. This is a huge accomplishment. The fact that Chile, the population in Chile doesn't quite understand what that will do to Chile as a nation whose most recent huge social struggles have had to do with the environment, have had to do with hydroelectric dams. The hydroelectric and energy issues are of what fueled the conflicts between government, so to speak, and the Mapuche people. Now we have a rising renewable energy. We have the largest renewable solar energy fields in Latin America, perhaps rivaling the world. We are going through enormous changes that, yes, the pendulum is swinging somewhere back there in time, but in the current world in which Chile has set aside an unprecedented amount of territory to be national parks, in which we are saving our oceans and coastals from industrial fishing, making them into cetacean sanctuaries, addressing the rights of artisanal fishermen. These facts are on the forefront. They're in present time. And the idea that things are swinging back and forth, definitely, when you look at Sebastián Piñera's cabinet, they are all men from Santiago, from the upper neighborhoods of Santiago, a very small place. They've all gone to the same schools. They represent the past.
Right.
They represent a way of looking at the world in a way that, you know, making America great again represents a nostalgic myth of unreality.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Francisco, and spending this time with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Francisco Letelier is a Chilean-born artist, muralist, writer, and activist based in Los Angeles. We've been discussing the handover of power from Michelle Bachelet to Sebastián Piñera. I'm in Chile. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.